Let's all say kids talk. Kids talk.
Good morning, everyone. Who is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I am. I am happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I have a few things for the kids to do with me this morning. And I have two verses for all of us to do together this morning. So let's all stand in honor of God's word. And let's turn to the book of John. And we're going to go John 1, 12, verse 12. We're going to talk about the fact that we need the Lord's power. We cannot do it on our own. In Sunday school, on our shipwrecked island, this unit we've been learning about, when we feel powerless, Jesus rescues us. We think we can rescue ourselves. We try things. They don't work. We drown. He rescues us. So let's start with John 1:12, and it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And then if you could, switch over with me to Luke 1, verse 37. The kids practiced shouting this at me all last week because I protested every single thing that the Lord was telling me to do in our Bible last week. I said, I can't. I can't. It's impossible. So everybody, all the kids said with me, Luke 1, 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Thank you. You may be seated. So maybe it's just me, but I definitely need the power of the Lord to do what I'm supposed to do. I need his power to change my heart. I need his power to change my want to or because I want to do things my own way, but it doesn't work out. So he's got to change what's in my heart. So I want to do it his way, which is what's best for me, because otherwise I mess everything up. Like, we need the Lord Jesus, and we need him more than we even think. Even those of us who have been churched and have been in church for a really long time and start thinking we got this made, then suddenly we realize, oh, we think we had it together. We think we had the power of the Lord helping us, and we kind of strayed and did our own thing. Like, we took the crown back, we became our own boss, and we messed it up. And then we realize that's because I need to be working with the Lord's power, not my own power. So I have a little experiment that the kids are going to help me out with here. I have two candies that are a favorite in my house, although this one's only a favorite if it has peanuts in my house, to be honest. All right, we got Skittles and we have M&Ms. How many of you, if you had to choose, would choose Skittles for your candy issues? You can't choose? All right, we got some Skittles. All right, now how many of you would choose M&Ms? My hand is up for M&Ms. All right, oh, we're about even. How many of you, like Sydney, cannot choose? Like, give me both and give me both now. We like the sugar. All right, some of you cannot choose. Okay, all right. So what is the difference between Skittles and M&Ms? What's the difference? Tell me some differences. Go ahead, shout them out. Chocolate and the candy, yeah. All right, so all of these M&Ms have the same chocolate flavor, and Skittles have kind of different flavors. One is chocolate, one is not a chocolate. It's a candy, as it was so eloquently described. Yes, Addison. One has an M for M&M, and one has an S. That's right. Does anyone know anything that's different about the shape of them?
No, Skittles are slightly fatter.
That's true. Skittles are slightly more round. We're not going to say fat. We can't say fluffy, so we're just going to say round. They're slightly rounder. Some of us are fluffier than others. These are more round than the M&Ms, but only slightly. I don't know if you can see, but only slightly. So if I look at this plate, they're all full of different colors. Like, all of them have brown and red and orange, yellow, blue. They all have multicolors in them, unless you get a certain pack. Yes, Lex. The brown can be M&M's, but I think I do have some brown Skittles. Look, this is a brown Skittle. Oh, I wonder what flavor that is.
Grape.
Oh, some of you are Skittle fans. It's a grape, apparently. All right. So I can't tell by the color. How could I tell by just looking with my eyes? I could definitely look for the M or the S, right, like Addison said. And if I looked really carefully, I might be able to tell the difference by their shape, but I don't think so. Now, what if I took away my sight and just did it with my fingers? Do you think I'd be able to tell the difference? You guys think you can? All right, let me test it out, and then we'll see if you guys can. Without looking, I'm just going to pick up these two. I think this one is an M&M. I think this one is a Skittle. M&M? Skittle. Nice job, me. I never can do that. Excellent. All right. So we're going to see if we take away our sight, if we take away the light by closing our eyes, take away what we can see, because we know seeing is light bouncing into our eyes, right? We're going to see if whoever volunteers to come up here in 60 seconds, how many they can separate correctly. M&M's into one bowl, Skittles into one bowl. Who would like to try? If you would like to try, come on up and sit on the front, and we'll give this a shot for a couple minutes. All right, I have got five volunteers. All right, Sydney, ready to go first? All right, come on up. I'm going to give her a minute, and we're going to see with her eyes closed, not cheating, right? Keeping your eyes closed. Okay. Skittles are going to go over here. M&Ms are going to go over here.
Okay.
All right, you're going to separate them out, and I'm going to put my stopwatch on.
What about in my mouth?
Not in your mouth. One of them melts in your mouth, not in your hands. Is that M&Ms? What is that? Is that M&M's? That's M&M's. Supposed to be M&M's. I don't know if it actually works or not. Okay, we're going to do 1 minute. Everyone's give her a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. She's got a minute. She can only feel them. Don't look.
I'm
going to
put them in.
Don't put it closer. There you go. M&M's versus Skittles. So far, there's like 1,000 blue in this bowl, which she can't see, so she's not picking blue. Let's see. How's she doing? She has less over in the Skittle bowl than she does in the M&M bowl. She's got 30 seconds to go. Is it easy? Are you having to concentrate hard?
No.
No, it's easy. She's doing it. Let's see how it goes. I did this once, and pretty much failed. I did it another time. It did great. So we'll have to see how it goes. She's getting there. She's got 9 seconds. All right, count with me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All right, there's my timer. All right, pick that one up, Sydney. See how you did. Oh, there's an M&M right here.
These are all M&Ms.
Two M&Ms in this one. All the rest are Skittles. That's pretty good.
Some
of them look fluffier.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. No, I think these are all M&Ms. So you only had two M&Ms in the Skittles. Good job. Give her a hand. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right. Who's coming up next? Sophie, you want to try? Come on up. All right. Are you ready? Keep those eyes closed. We're going to give her a countdown, everybody. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, keep your eyes closed. Feel them with your hands. M&M's in one, Skittles in the other. She's feeling them with her fingers, not with her eyes. Don't look with your eyes. There are fewer Skittles so far, more M&M's. We'll see how we go. All the different colors. Sydney just happened to choose blue, but Sophie is not looking, right? Not looking. She's feeling with her fingers. Let's see how it goes. Oh, there's not as many M&Ms. There's more M&Ms. More M&Ms and just a few Skittles. All right, she's got 20 seconds left. Let's see how she does. You guys think it would be hard or easy? I thought it would be a lot easier than it is, honestly. I thought I'd be able to feel the roundness of the Skittles. All right, she's got 5 seconds. Count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and done. All right. Oh, there's some on the ground. Grab those off the ground. You can stick them back in the plate. And let's see. These are M&Ms. You check the Skittles. See if you have any wrong ones in there. Oh, here's a Skittle. Here's a Skittle. The orange ones were hard, apparently. All right, you got 5 Skittles over here. What do you got?
Two
M&Ms over here? Were those M&Ms that you dumped in there? All right, so she's got, oh, there was only, out of all those, there was only 7 Skittles and a whole ton of M&Ms. Nice job, Sophie. Nice job. All right. We're going for it again. We ready? We ready? All right, Addison, come on up. All right, come on up, Azalea. You can help. Come on up. Are you ready? All right, let's give him a countdown. She's ready. She's ready. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right. Oh, he's so careful. Look it. All right, I'm going to help you, Azalea. Let's see. I'm going to pick one of these. Pick one.
I want this one.
Okay, don't put it in your mouth. Put it in the bowl. Good job. All right, pick another one. Good job. Pick another one. Good job. Ooh, this one goes in the other bowl. Go put on the other bowl. Okay, in the plate. That works too. All right, the other bowl. Good. All right. Where do you think that one goes?
This one.
That's correct. That's correct.
That one.
All right. Good, good.
That one.
All right, that one. All right, take these two that you just put in there and put those on the plate. Put that one on the plate. Oh, right here. Put this one on the plate. No, not out of there. Put that one on the plate. Good. Okay, here's some more. Not out of there. Leave that there. Leave that there. Here we go. All right, here's another one. That one goes in there. That was close. That was close. Good. This one goes on the plate. All right, and it's time's up. Time's up. Right on the dot. All right, let's see how Addison did with Azalea helping. What do you see? What do you think? Oh, I've got 3 M&Ms in here. All the rest were Skittles. What about there?
This is the M&M basket?
Yep. Well, as long as you separated them, it doesn't matter. What do you got? Do you have any mixed in there?
That's a bowl.
I made sure Azalea didn't put any in the wrong thing.
How about me?
This one doesn't say.
That one doesn't say? I think that's a Skittle. That's pretty round. All right, let me see. Oh, you did pretty well. I think there's only 2 in here that are wrong. And there was 4 in there that were wrong. Oh, 4 there. All right, good job. Good job. Was that easy or hard? That was hard. That was hard. All right. I'm going to stick these out here. All right, Azalea, go back. Go back. Good job, girl. All right, who's left? All right, you think you guys can do it together at the same time? Let's try it. I'll move this. One of you stand on this side. One of you stand on this side. All right, but we have to be careful. So open your eyes for a second. This side is M&M's. This side is Skittles. All right, are you ready?
This side is M&M's. And this side, then... This was Skittles.
This was Skittles. That was M&M's.
M&M's?
Skittles.
Skittles in your mouth, she says. Like that? Is that how you remember it? Okay, Skittles right here, M&M's right here. We got it?
Skittles right here. M&M's
and not right here.
Right
here. These are all sticky from all the little hands, so I pulled those out. Okay? Are you ready? All right, give them a 5 count. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, let's see how they do. Here we go. We need Jeopardy music. Da na 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 na. All right, bowl right there. Yep,
right there.
Bowl's right here, right close to the plate. All right, let's see how they're doing. Pretty accurate. There's only a couple that are off so far. They're pretty accurate. Couple off in both bowls. They're doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. They got 20 seconds left. Lex is missing the bowl almost. He catches it every time. All right, we're down to 15 seconds. Feeling with all their fingertips, not just with 2. They're using their whole hands. Look at that. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and done. All right, hold up those bowls, guys. See what you got.
M&M.
Bunch of M&M's.
Skittle.
There's a bunch of M&M's in the Skittle bowl? Man.
Skittle. Well, a couple.
A couple, all right. Couple Skittles over there?
And there's a Skittle in my hand.
There's a Skittle in your hand. How'd we do? Did we mess up? It looks like we messed up. Oh, there was a lot. There was a lot. All right, we thought a lot of Skittles were M&Ms. All right, guys, dump them back on there. Thank you. Thank you. You can have a seat. All right. This would have been easier if they could have used what sense?
The mouth.
The mouth would have definitely worked. That would have been funner, too. And if they had used their eyes, right? If the light had been able to come in and tell them what this was, they would have known. They would have put them in the right bowls right off the bat. So that was a natural example of a spiritual example that we, who is the light?
Jesus
is the light, right? The Bible tells us that. It's his truth. It's knowledge of him that enables us to go, is this the right choice or is this the right choice? Because sometimes they both look good. Sometimes they both might be fine. They might be good. But the Lord has a plan for each one of us. And how do we know which way to go? We only know if we have the power of Jesus with us. We only know if we can listen to his voice and he tells us which is best for us. So it's not always real clear. It's not always, do I do this way or do I do that way? Sometimes the ways look fine and there's nothing that are anti-Lord. There's nothing that are against, as we look at it, what we should do. But the Lord knows what's best for us. So if we trust him and we have his power, he'll be able to tell us what is best and which way to go. We need his light. We need his sight. We need his power. It's his power that enables us to become what we're supposed to become. Not what somebody else is supposed to become, but what we're supposed to become. So he gives us that power to become the sons of God. So the kids are going to come up and show us one last thing before I sit down. We worked on this in Sunday school. And this is just two styrofoam cups put together. How much power do these styrofoam cups have? So they have a ton of potential. I mean, the kids were looking at this like, ooh, craft time. Like, we could do so much stuff with this, right? Lots of potential right here. But unless something is done to this, unless we give these power, they can't fly. They can't do anything cool. They just sit there with all this unused potential. So it's the same concept. When we tap into the Lord Jesus, when we allow him to control, when we allow him to give us the power, we can do anything. We can fly. We don't just have to struggle through life. We can fly. So mine never works right. The kids are pretty good at this. Are you guys ready? So this rubber band is going to be like the Lord Jesus giving us power. He's going to direct our way. He's going to give us the power to do what he wants us to do. Is everybody ready? 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 All right. 3, 2, 1, go. Nice. That one went all the way over there. Good job. Good job, you guys. Good job. All right. If you guys can stay up here and help teach the, and have the adults lead in a song, we're all going to sing a song together. You can put your cups wherever you want for after the song. You can grab them. The song I want us all to stand and sing together is one we know and we've sung together. It's Let Us Come Together, Praise the Name of Jesus. All the people of the earth come and sing, because we're all here together as a family, and we're here to allow the Lord Jesus to work in each and every one of us, but we can sure do that easier with everybody together worshiping the Lord. We all need his power. We all need the power. We can't say, I can't do it. It's impossible for me to clap in church. It's impossible for me to listen and then apply what the preacher says. It's impossible for me to raise my hands and shout out to the Lord. But we learned in Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with the Lord. We need him. So let's talk about being as a family, all worshiping the Lord together. That enables us to accept the Lord's power. Everybody up? No kids are helping me? Come on. Come on. Really? Sophie, yes, yes. All right. Kaylee, are you helping? All right, Kaylee's helping. Good. All right, I'm going to get myself out of the picture. You guys can look at these cutie pies. All right, is everybody ready? They will show you how to do the motions. Are you ready? Let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth come and see. Let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth come and hear. For joy is like the sunshine raining down upon us. Joy is like the golden crown. So let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. Find a partner. Hallelujah. Clap hands. Hallelujah. Clap hands. Hallelujah. 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 Faster. Let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth come and see. Let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth come and hear. For joy is like the sunshine raining down upon us. Joy is like a golden crown. So let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord together and thank Him for His power.
Today we're going to take our text out of Acts chapter 10, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. We're taking a break from the spiritual health checkup today. We were on to the spiritual diseases, and I had some good ones, spiritual diabetes and spiritual cancer, but then I came up with 12 other ones, and I was trying to figure out how not to make this last until September with spiritual diseases, and I don't want to do a separate series, which is all negative stuff. You know, I like to talk about positive things, so instead of worrying about that, we're going to go with the theme of this weekend, which is Memorial Day. So we'll read out of Acts chapter 10, and thank you, dear, for telling me to do that. Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he looked on him, and he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Praise the Lord. Brother Phil Barrett, would you pray God's blessing on us this morning, please? Amen. Thank you. The words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. This Memorial Day weekend, we pause to express our gratitude and remember the men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice in military service. And it's the time that we contemplate their selfless acts, which enable us to live in a world of relative safety, abundance, and freedom. And while many may view this weekend as the start of warm weather and the unofficial kickoff of summer, let's remember the true purpose of the holiday. For those aware of its meaning, Memorial Day is a solemn occasion marked by a deep respect for the fallen heroes who gave their all to this nation. Our opening text, the story of Cornelius, a devout and God-fearing centurion, resonates deeply with the spirit of Memorial Day. As we read, Acts 10, verses 1 through 4, tells us that Cornelius' prayers and alms were seen as a memorial before God. And this passage reminds us that the actions of individuals, especially those who serve with dedication and righteousness, are seen and honored by God. Just as Cornelius' faith and good deeds were a memorial before God, the sacrifices made by our fallen service members are also recognized by our Heavenly Father. I think if you read in the Scripture, you can see that the Lord has a soft spot for those who are willing to give themselves to a greater purpose. And so their acts, our bravery, selflessness, and love are not forgotten, but they serve as powerful testimonies of character and devotion. So as we remember the fallen service members, we can see their sacrifices as memorials before the Lord, as testimonies of courage, love, and dedication. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this verse captures the spirit of Memorial Day many soldiers, and I would say most soldiers, probably did not die or do not die for abstract concepts or distant policies, but they died for their comrades fighting beside them. One of the more prominent stories these days is of Michael Murphy, who, a Navy SEAL, Medal of Honor recipient. They have a CrossFit workout named after him, and he sacrificed his life as he and his troops were pinned down. I think there's three of them. They were pinned down, and they couldn't get a radio signal out, and so he went out, exposed himself to direct enemy fire in order to call and ask for reinforcements, and he got hit while he was on the phone, and he had to pick the phone back up, and he was very, and you can hear it, his call, and he was very calm and, you know, asking for assistance, and then he said, you know, Roger, thank you, and then being mortally injured, fought from that position and died, trying to make sure that his men would get rescued. This was not because he believed in any particular policy. It was because he had a bond with his men, and he was willing to lay down his life that they may have a chance of life. So this is a potent bond of brotherhood, and this bond of love exemplifies the principle of loving one's neighbor as oneself. Often we think of love as being this wellspring of infatuation, but it's not such a thing. It's a dedication to the benefit and the well-being of another. And as we honor these sacrifices, we also turn our hearts to the ultimate sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we see the contrast to greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And we see the contrast here that the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice goes beyond human love as he laid down his life, not just for his friends, but for those who called him an enemy. He laid down his life for those who were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." He laid down his life for those who were calling out, "We have no king but Caesar." And so his victory goes beyond human love. And this nearly incomprehensible act of love and grace challenges all of us to reflect on our own lives and how we can live in a way that honors both our fallen heroes and our Savior. And with these reflections, let's look at various forms of sacrifice. We'll explore the sacrifices made by our service members and the unparalleled sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll draw a couple of connections between these acts of love and courage. And by understanding and appreciating these sacrifices, I hope that we can find inspiration to live our lives in a way that honors both of these legacies. And so as we talk about honoring service members, we begin by thinking about the immense sacrifices made by our fallen service members. These individuals, whether they volunteered willingly, driven by a sense of duty and patriotism, or whether they were drafted, compelled by the needs of their country during times of conflict, they all displayed bravery and commitment. And regardless of how they came to serve, their willingness to face unimaginable challenges, dangers, and hardships far from home and loved ones speaks volumes about their character and dedication. My grandfather Collier was a medic in the Pacific Theater of World War II, and he told me stories in between sobs of working with a surgeon at the base camp, where they went for days without sleeping, and they'd bring in these soldiers, and part of my grandfather's job was to figure out which ones were going to die no matter what, and he'd have to mark them off and move them to a place to basically let them die. And then the ones that could be treated, he'd triage them. And then he was talking about having to sit there with a medic. Little kids, close your ears. But as they go through the entire intestinal tract, inch by inch, and you know, it's like a mile long or something. It's like some incredible distance, having to find every perforation and stitching it up. So tired, not having slept for days, because they knew that if they stopped, that person would die. And then once they fixed that person, they couldn't stop because the next person would die if they weren't. And so my grandfather was just in tears as he talked about that. But this is the dedication that goes beyond what you and I feel when we get grumpy at having to go pick up somebody to bring them to church, right? There's no comparison in the dedication and the camaraderie. My grandfather on my father's side flew a rescue mission dropping off food supplies to a prisoner of war camp in Japan, even before the surrender was signed, and talked about how there was no air support and they had to go in real low and slow because they only had one narrow strip of bridge to land the care packages on so that the prisoners of war would be able to get to them. Otherwise, they'd be dropped off into the ocean and ruined. And he talked about how they had to go hoping that the Japanese government meant it when they accepted the surrender because they had no defenses, and going low and slow and making sure that all the packages dropped on the runway. And he talked about even in the airplane being able to hear the roar of the prisoners as they pushed through the gates and ran to get the first food they'd had in who knows how long. There's a willingness to risk one's life that goes far and above what we typically endure in our day-to-day lives. And it's a dedication and a commitment that the Lord honors, that the Lord recognizes. And so his words when he says that no person has greater love than laying down his life for his friends, it highlights that the ultimate expression of love is sacrifice. And on Memorial Day, we honor those who have laid down their lives not merely for ideals or ideas even, but for those fighting next to them. And this form of love is tangible and real, and it manifests itself in trenches and battlefields and moments of extreme peril. It's a love that mirrors the selflessness that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, a love that goes beyond mere words to the point of ultimate sacrifice. And when soldiers face the perils of war, they do so with the knowledge that their actions could save the lives of their comrades. And this selfless act of laying down one's life is a profound demonstration of loving one's neighbor as thyself. And it challenges us to consider the depth of our own love and commitment to others. And we ask ourselves, do we love with the same selflessness and dedication? And do we live out the principles of Jesus' teaching in our daily lives? Not all who served volunteered to do so. Countless numbers of them were conscripted and drafted into military service. Yet those who were drafted showed the same courage as those who volunteered. They fought not out of personal desire, but out of a sense of duty and love for their fellow service members. And this selfless love for others, risking their lives to protect their comrades, is a testament to the human spirit's capacity for sacrifice and loyalty. These individuals, placed in unimaginable situations, displayed a bravery that is both humbling and inspiring. The story of these drafted soldiers reminds us that true courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act despite it. And their actions exemplify the best of human nature, showcasing a commitment to others far beyond their personal safety and comfort. And this sense of duty and camaraderie are powerful examples of what it means to love others selflessly. The Bible provides several strong examples of the selfless love and sacrifice that we see in our fallen service members. In 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 17, we read about David's mighty men, a group of elite soldiers known for their bravery and loyalty. And among them were three warriors who risked their lives to bring David well or water from the well in Bethlehem, which was then under Philistine control. And these men broke through the enemy lines, and they drew water from the well and brought it back to David. And they demonstrated their willingness to put their lives on the line in order to bless their leader. And recognizing the gravity of this sacrifice, David refused to drink the water and instead poured it out as an offering to the Lord. And at first glance, you're like, well, why didn't you just drink the water? They risked their lives to do so. But David recognized that that was done as an offering to him. And an offering to a man is only temporary. So he poured it out to the Lord, transforming an offering to him into an offering towards the Lord. And that makes it a much bigger deal. David transformed that and made it an even more meaningful act. And these warriors' selfless devotion demonstrates that strong bond of sacrificial love that soldiers have that when they're willing to lay down their lives for one another. Another striking example of such dedication is the story of Uriah the Hittite and one of David's soldiers. He's better known for being killed by David's instructions. But in 2 Samuel 11, we learn that David, who had stayed behind in Jerusalem, sent for Uriah's wife Bathsheba, had adultery with her. And when she became pregnant, David attempted to cover up that sin by calling Uriah back from the battlefield, hoping that he would go home and give David a chance to pretend it was Uriah's kid. However, Uriah demonstrated that unwavering loyalty and commitment to his fellow soldiers, and he refused to go home to his wife while his comrades were still fighting. And he said, as we see in 2 Samuel 11:11, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And I don't know many people who have that kind of mindset, and I think if a soldier's home on break, he ought to just enjoy being on break. But Uriah's dedication to his brothers in arms, even in the face of personal comfort and pleasure, is another powerful example of the sacrificial love and devotion that is shared among soldiers. And these biblical accounts remind us of our fallen service members' courage, loyalty, and selflessness. And just as David's mighty men risked their lives to bring their leader water, and just as Uriah refused to enjoy the comforts of home while his comrades were still in battle, our soldiers have laid down their lives for their friends and for us. And they embody this principle of self-sacrifice, putting the needs of others before their own, even unto death. And as we remember these individuals, we can draw strength and inspiration from their example and the examples that we find in Scripture. And we should strive to have our lives marked by that same selfless love, the same courage and dedication that they demonstrated. So let us honor their legacy by serving others, by standing firm in our convictions and being willing to make sacrifices for the greater good. And as we do so, we pay tribute to their memory and follow in the footsteps of the ultimate example of sacrificial love, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we think about the sacrifices our fallen service members made, let's now focus on the ultimate sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike many who are drafted into service, Jesus willingly laid down his life for all of humanity. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, being fully God, had the power to avoid the cross and the suffering that came with it. Yet he willingly chose to humble himself and take on human form, knowing that his sacrifice was necessary for our redemption. In John 10, 17 through 18, Jesus says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus' sacrifice was not compelled by external forces, but it was compelled by his immense love for us. And this love is further demonstrated in the fact that Jesus endured the pain and humiliation and death of the cross willingly. He could have called upon legions of angels to rescue him, but he chose to drink of the cup of suffering so that we might have everlasting life. As we read in Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus' sacrifice was the ultimate act of love. It's a love that was willing to endure the worst of human suffering for our sake. And what makes the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice even more remarkable is that he laid down his life not just for his friends and followers, but for all of humanity, including those who called him enemy. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we were in rebellion against God, living in sin and rejecting his love, God still chose to die for us. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but he still died for those who rejected him. And this shows us the depth of his love and grace, a love that is not based on our merit or worthiness, but which is based on his own character and compassion. In Luke 23:34, as the Lord hung on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even in his darkest hour, facing the most agonizing suffering, the Lord's heart was filled with love and forgiveness for those who put him there. And this radical love for one's enemies is a defining characteristic of the Lord's sacrifice. He didn't just die for those who loved him. He died for those who hated him, those who mocked him, and those who crucified him. And this profound love challenges us to examine our own lives and hearts. Are we willing to love and sacrifice for others, even those who may not love us in return? Are we ready to forgive those who have wronged us, even when they don't deserve it? The Lord Jesus Christ's example calls us to a higher standard of love and selflessness, a love that is not based on reciprocity, but on God's unconditional grace and mercy. In 1 John 3:16, we read, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Boy, that's a rough way to end that sentence, isn't it? Jesus' sacrifice is an example for us to admire and a model for us to follow. We are called to love as he loved, to give as he gave, and to forgive as he forgave. This is not an easy thing to do, and it requires a daily dying to yourself and a continued reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit. However, as we seek to follow in the Lord Jesus Christ's footsteps, we can take comfort in the fact that his sacrifice was not in vain. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord conquered sin and death, making a way for us to be reconciled to God and to experience the fullness of his love. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." As we remember and honor the sacrifices of our fallen service members, let us also fix our eyes on the ultimate sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be inspired by his voluntary laying down of his life, by his love of his enemies, and his unwavering commitment to our redemption. And let us strive to live the kind of lives that reflect his love, his grace, and his selflessness, knowing that in doing so, we honor him and his sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And so there are shared values between these two sacrifices, between those of service members and those of our Lord. Both demonstrate immense love, courage, and the willingness to face immense challenges for greater good. And these values are at the core of Christian teaching and are exemplified in the lives of those who serve and in the life of Christ. In laying down their lives, our service members show a profound love for their comrades in their country. And their acts of self-sacrifice reflect the greatest commandment that Jesus taught, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And their courage in the face of danger and their willingness to endure hardships for the sake of the others mirror the qualities that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ's sacrifice is the ultimate demonstration of these values. In his willingness to endure the cross, the Lord showed unparalleled courage and a depth of love beyond human comprehension. He faced the greatest challenge of all, of taking on the sins of the world, and he did so willingly out of love for humanity. And we are called to emulate this sacrificial love and courage in our lives. We've drawn on John 15:13 to acknowledge the noble sacrifices of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, service members, where it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this verse honors the selfless love of those who've died in service. And it reminds us that the greatest love we can show is to give our lives for the sake of others. And this love goes beyond words and is demonstrated through action, the ultimate form of love that service members exemplify. And so to highlight this unparalleled nature of Christ's sacrifice, we turn to Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this verse, which has been the theme throughout this message, underscores this extraordinary love of Christ, who loved us even though we were undeserving, even though we are undeserving. And while individuals may show incredible love and courage in their sacrifices, Christ's love is even greater because he laid down his life for us while we were still sinners, while we were yet his enemies. And this is a demonstration of the boundless and unconditional nature of the Lord Jesus Christ's love. In addition, we can look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This verse acknowledges Christ's sacrifice and calls us to follow his example. Just as he laid down his life for us, we are called to lay down our lives for others. And this is the standard of love and self-sacrifice that we are to strive for as followers of Christ. And so often, you know, we're talking about this in the context of dying for somebody else to keep them alive or to give them the chance of life. But sacrificing your life is also giving up your comforts and giving up of your free time and giving of yourself and changing your lifestyle to accommodate helping somebody else. It's not just the ultimate sacrifice, but it does include even mundane things such as rearranging your schedule for another person. So both soldiers in Christ demonstrated immense love, and soldiers exemplified that love to the humans by protecting and sacrificing themselves, and that reflects the commandment to love thy neighbor as thyself. And when they put themselves in harm's way, they live out this commandment in a very real and tangible way. And that is core to the heart of this Christian teaching. And Christ's sacrifice, going beyond human love, is demonstrated for all of humanity, including those who opposed him, including those who were born long before he manifested in the flesh, and those who were born long after. And his boundless love sets this divine example for us to follow. It challenges us to love others selflessly, even our enemies, and to live our lives marked by grace and forgiveness. And this higher standard of love goes beyond what is natural and calls us to a supernatural way of living. We read about the faith of those who endured great suffering and laid down their life. And that's in Hebrews 11, 35 through 38, where it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." He continues, "of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." And these martyrs chose to endure suffering and death rather than renounce their faith, rather than renounce their love of the Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrating a profound courage and commitment. And this passage from Hebrews shows us that the willingness to endure suffering and to lay down one's life is a testament to one's faith and commitment to God. And those martyrs, like our service members, displayed immense courage and self-sacrifice. They chose to suffer and die rather than compromise their love for the Lord, showing a dedication that inspires and challenges us. Every time I lift the Bible, almost every time I lift the Bible, I think about those men who were killed for daring to put the to translate the Bible into English to make it accessible to the citizens. Strangled, executed in horrible ways because they felt that the Word of God needed to be in the hands of each person. There's a dedication that we can strive to. In drawing these connections, we see that the values demonstrated by our service members are deeply rooted in the teachings of Christ. And their sacrifices reflect that ultimate sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we honor their memory, we also are reminded of Christ's profound love and sacrifice for us. And that calls us to live lives marked by the same values of love, courage, and selflessness. And in doing so, we honor the sacrifices of service members, of martyrs, and we follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue to reflect on the depth of Christ's sacrifice and his immense love for us, let's take a moment to consider how this reality affects our daily lives and choices. Christ's sacrifice was not a distinct historical event, but a personal act of love for each of us. And so here's a couple questions for us to consider. How has Christ's sacrifice changed your life? Consider how his life and sacrifice have transformed you, bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In what ways can you express gratitude for his love and sacrifice? So consider the daily practices and attitudes that reflect your thankfulness. Are there areas in your life where you can more fully live out the principles of sacrificial love? I encourage you to identify specific actions or changes you can make to embody Christ's love more completely. His sacrifice calls us to live in a way that honors him. So reflect on these questions and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in making sacrifice a central part of your life. So living a life that memorializes Christ's sacrifice means embodying his love in our everyday actions. And here are some practical examples and actionable steps, because I like to do that, that help us live sacrificially. Start with small everyday acts of kindness. Help a neighbor with their groceries, volunteer at a local shelter, or offer a listening ear to someone in need. Though these things seem small, these actions do reflect Christ's love in tangible ways. Advocate for a lifestyle of service. There's many ways to give back to the community, to give back to the church, whether through community service or church ministries or helping those in need. Find a way to help others consistently. Jesus said in Matthew 20, 28, yeah, it's, this is how the day goes. So prioritize others' needs above personal convenience. Just as Christ prioritized our need for salvation over his own comfort, we should seek to put others first in our daily interactions. Standing up for what is right, standing up for justice and righteousness, even when society is opposed to you, even when difficult or unpopular, be a beacon of truth and love in a world that is often at odds with Christian values. Lila's not here, so somebody else is going to have to get the bat in their hair. All right. So we need to stand up for what's right, and we can use examples from Scripture, such as the prophets who spoke truth to power, and in modern-day situations where standing for righteousness makes a significant impact. So we honor Christ's legacy by living lives characterized by love, grace, and sacrifice. Our actions become a testament to his work in us, demonstrating the transformative power of his love. Becoming living memorials, our transformed lives serve as living memorials to Christ's sacrifice. When we love others selflessly, we reflect his ultimate act of love. Our everyday actions can point others to his sacrificial love. So make daily decisions to honor Christ, including ethical behavior at work, showing compassion to strangers, and sharing the gospel with friends. Each decision can reflect Christ's love and grace. So if you wave your jacket, maybe it'll sense it. Romans 12, 1 through 2 provides a powerful call to live sacrificially. And we'll just go ahead and close with that, since you haven't heard a word I've said since that bat started flying. So, it's all right. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, he's getting there. Just wave. He'll get there. You're going to have to stand up with the net. But he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if somebody would offer their hair sacrificially to get the bat out of here, that would be fantastic. If somebody would offer their time and get the people out here to fix the stupid air conditioner, that would be fantastic. If somebody could figure out which of my amps just blew up and how and why we get the humming in our sound system, that would be fantastic. If somebody wants to figure out how the bats are getting in here and prevent that, that would be fantastic. There are plenty of ways to demonstrate sacrificial love for your brothers and sisters. God has given us all kinds of opportunities this very day to start living out these principles that he's demonstrated to us. I tell you. So, we take cash, checks, Venmo, PayPal, you know, however you want. Join us. But we'll call that it so y'all can stop worrying about the bat and get out where there's some air. As we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, remember that there was an ultimate sacrifice made for you. Beyond the tentative idea that American military actions overseas somehow contributes to our freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very real way, died, laid down his life for our freedom, everlasting liberty. So with that, we'll close with prayer. Brother Lou, why don't you pray our blessing?